All right, we're good to go. We are live. And in probably the most exciting pod of the year, we're going to preview round 8 this week. My name's Alex from The Tripod, and once again, I will be joined by Jacob. We will break down round 8, and it's the biggest pod of the year. We have very exciting news for you all. Let me just get Jacob in here. First pod, you'll find all our funny memes and vids and shit on there. Also, like us on our socials. We've got Instagram and Twitter. That's tripod_betting. You can also find all our tips and multis and sign up for our newsletter as well at tripodbetting.com. And now, Jacob, we have a brand new app. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm very well. And yeah, as you know, it's 4 years in the making. It's 4 years of the tripod and 4 years of success. And just began sharing tips with mates, and that's grown to a Facebook page. And then the Facebook page grew into a group, and then in our heyday a year ago, we had 15,000 members. We were killing it. Everything was great. We were hitting multis at 100-1, and then of course we got zucked. We were kind of naive moving into all this. You know, it's all just kind of grown just with people enjoying what we've been putting out, so we've kept doing it. But once we started getting zucked, like our groups getting shut down, posts getting removed, and we looked into it, and we aren't paying Facebook any money, and we're putting up what they call restricted content. And we tried multiple different ways, different groups set up by different people. They kept getting shut down. And I know that it's been very frustrating for people following us, and it's been frustrating for us too. And that's why we put in for the last 12 months a lot of time and effort with the company Market Hatch to create an app that we are very proud to share with people, and it's finally ready. And did you want to talk about a couple of the features before we preview this round 8?
Yeah, definitely, mate. And it was. You're right. It was frustrating. I mean, we had 15,000 members in the original Tripod group, and that was great. You know, it was an awesome group, great interaction. And then obviously that one got shut down. It's been very tough to sort of build it up from there. So we just decided enough's enough. We're not going to be controlled by Zuck anymore. The boys need to get our tips and get them on time. So we have created an app, and we actually think what we have created is even better than a Facebook group. So not only like a Facebook group can you post up your own tips, you can interact, you can comment, you can like posts, all that sort of thing. But we've gone above and beyond for this one. Push notifications will be in this one, and you'll never miss any of our tips ever again. You'll get push notifications for our tips. You'll get push notifications for other tipsters that you want to follow. So you only get notifications for those that you want to. We've got a leaderboard. It's going to, you know, rank all the tipsters in the app from best to worst, so you can sort of, you know, gauge yourself amongst other tipsters. No more keeping an Excel spreadsheet for your ROI. The app is going to automatically track your win percentage, your average winning tip odds, and your ROI. So no more Excel spreadsheets for you. And it's just going to be a really good app. I'm really, really proud of what we've done. It's been a year in the making, but I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, it's going to shine a light just beyond just whether you win or lost. People talk about, any price is good if I win, and if I lose, it doesn't matter. But in the long run, it matters so much. Finding odds, like finding the best odds, finding the best value, and that's going to show in the app, really show who is making money. And it's not easy to do, and not everyone will. And we encourage anyone can have a go. It's open for all to throw their tips in there, because not everyone is going to follow every tip, and you might just use the app to keep a track of your own tipping and see whether you are profitable long-term or not. You're going to get ideas of tips. You're going to be able to discuss games with people. And I think all the little features in there, like being able to filter by sport or by an event or something to just see if there's any other content in there, it's all just additional information to help you make the best decision, as well as enjoy and share experiences, like when there's a game going on. Obviously, we have got our game threads and things like that, and people are making live plays, or you know, another way to follow the game from a punting perspective. So yeah, you've got to get that app. It's free, so there's no reason not to. So give it a try. We already have 1,000 people in there, and we only posted about lunchtime today. So that's just Tripod, TRYPOD at the app stores, and get in there and join us.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And to follow on from what you said, I mean, we've been doing this for 4 years now in the group and stuff. So we kind of know what punters want and what people want in a group like that and in an app. So we've sort of catered to that, and we've created an app that we would want to use and what you punters would want to use. So make sure you download it. Like Jacob said, just search Tripod. That's Tripod with a Y in either the App Store or the Google Play Store. And we've got actually even more bonus bets than normal. We usually have $200 in bonus bets to give away every single weekend. But over the next month or so, we're going to have over $2,500, I think, we've got to give away in bonus bets. So make sure you join the app. We'll be running those comps throughout the rest of the NRL season. But should we get the week started off, mate?
Yeah, and it's a hell of a week. Right. As people may or may not know, hopefully you do if you're watching us tonight and you're not sitting there wondering why we're up on a Tuesday night. We've got footy, doubleheader Wednesday. We've got Thursday night footy. We've got doubleheader Friday. We've got doubleheader Saturday. And then, after four straight days of footy, we're only going to have one game on a Sunday. So that's where you may take the missus out for lunch or something, be very romantic to repay after you've spent probably the last four straight days in front of the TV. So, yeah, it's a footy feast and a lot of very competitive games coming up. We've crushed last round as we guaranteed that we would. I think, what did we end up? Something like up
36-20.
Yeah, 20. Oh, six, my maths isn't 36, good. Up 16 20. Units. Up 16 units. And we hit a 17-1 head-to-head multi. And I've got a feeling, like a few teams head-to-head this week as well, that could be the backbone of another winning multi. So, yeah, let's get into it with a cracking game, Dragons-Roosters.
Yeah, so Wednesday night, you've got time. Public holiday and two games on tomorrow. We've got the Dragons hosting the Roosters. Well, not really hosting. It's basically a home game for the Roosters. The Dragons are 1.5-point favourites and 34.5 the total.
And so I lean on you, the weatherman, for any advice because, of course, that total jumps out at me being very low. Even when you get two really good defensive sides playing each other in an afternoon game in good conditions, that total wouldn't be below 36.
Rain until about 2 hours before kickoff.
Yep, and you can never know for sure, and you would be brave to bet on overs, and if it's pissing rain, with two good, solid sides, you may not have a chance. And the Dragons are, one of the best sides in the comp. We all know that. We said that before the season. But we, at the same time, knew that they weren't as great as kind of some of their final scores suggested. There were chinks in the armour, and it showed on Friday night last week against the Warriors where they did get done. That's one slight edge you give straight away to the Roosters that they played last Thursday. So with obviously a very short turnaround to play on a Wednesday, that extra day is meaningful to a degree. We're looking for any edge we can possibly find. And another edge to the Roosters will be the return of Takiaho. I think he's an underrated beast, really, that works in the middle. And he's a guy that, in attack, he really is breaking tackles and helping with their go forward. And defensively, he's very solid as well. Dragons are pretty much full strength. They don't pick Sele in their top 17, which I would have, but you've got to trust that they're going to this game confident and strong. But to me, the Roosters are the better side here. Took them last week and people criticised their attack, but their defence was awesome against the Bulldogs and I think they can improve their attack, especially with Takiaho back. Now, I would love to make a bet like Roosters to be leading at halftime or full-time. We've had a few like that this season and we've won just about every time. And actually, I can see someone commenting right now. And if Roosters to lead at halftime or full-time is still $1.83, we would lock that in right now. Last time I checked, that's dropped. Exactly. And you know what? I've never once seen anybody in any of our forums put up a tip like that. But it just goes to show that people are learning because we've been cashing on tips like that. And now that tip was $1.83 a day or two ago. And now it's dropped and we can't get it. So that makes our job a little bit harder. But I tell you what we probably should do is take the Roosters +1 in the first half and +1 in the second half because I don't think the spine is going to go above 2. So it's not going to get any better than that.
Totally agree. And those are both on Crown at $1.90, I believe. I think that's the best ones out there. But yeah, I think this is probably one of my favourite games of the round. I think everything just points towards Roosters in this one. You've got Roosters coming off the long layoff. So they've got an extra day rest from the Dragons. The Roosters have been in or around Sydney all season. They have not had to travel out of the Sydney area. That's a huge boost in terms of fatigue and that sort of travel fatigue. Then you've got the Dragons on the flip side coming from New Zealand with a one day less turnaround. You've got winning streak theory going against the Dragons. They've obviously had that long winning streak. They're full of confidence and now they've just had that shattered. Quite often when that happens, the next week they turn around and kind of don't play with as much confidence just because, that pressure's kind of, well, not pressure, but you don't have that sort of desire to keep that winning streak going. Like you said, Takiaho back is big. Jack Friend got named despite copping a head knock. That's also big. I just really like the Roosters in this one. I think we should lock in those two bets. And that's pretty much all I had for this game for now. just because I would also like to say, because we're doing this on a Tuesday, I did have like a thorough 2-hour look through all the markets for all the games. And there's just a lot of markets that are missing because it is so early in the week. Next up, we got the Storm hosting the Warriors. The Storm are 6.5-point favourites and 38.5 the total.
So just to repeat, we're taking Roosters +1 first half and +1 second half, both on ground, both $1.90. I think they're on William Hill as well. So snap those ones up. They're our early plays, but our full summary we're going to release tomorrow morning. We'll release it in our app to begin with, so that in the app, if you've downloaded it, you'll get a notification the second that we post. And people who do follow us understand how critical that time can be, because a lot of our juiciest plays, and we find the juiciest ones on the board, they're not always there for long. That's, you know, that kind of the definition of great value is that it isn't going to last long because, you know, an official market will adjust. And tomorrow when we do go through this, we'll look closer at the weather too, because, you know, I'm looking at Roosters to score more than 6 points first half. That's a pretty good bet to me. And that's $2 right now, but I'm not going to do it if it's, you know, a monsoon in the afternoon tomorrow. So we'll see tomorrow. And then we got another really good game. And another reason why you love to be in our group. I mean, there was someone in our group a month ago that tipped the Warriors in this game +13.5 points, picking that it was going to be a lot closer than what, you know, people thought at that point in time. You'd love to have +13.5 in your pocket. Right now, it's 6.5. And you know what? I would have probably liked the Storm with the Warriors performing as well as they can, but the Storm getting healthier, getting troops back on deck. And we took the Storm last week and they were too good for Brisbane, although, as we mentioned in our recap pod, maybe the scoreline flattered them with a bunch of length of the field tries and a try off a fucking garbage drop kick and things like that. But now with Jesse Bromwich being out, I don't know if people understand that he is like one of the very premier props in the whole competition, and they will miss him a little bit. And for the Warriors, okay, Sean Johnson's out, but Mason Lino is a gun player, and what's old mate's name? Blake Green, having a blank, sorry, has obviously taken a lot of the playmaking stress off of the number seven for the Warriors. And yes, Tohu Harris is also a loss, but they've got so many good back rowers. Simon Mannering, not that he is a star by any means, but he's back in the team and he kind of anchors that team. And then, you know, other guys like Papali'i and and even blokes like Adam Blair having great seasons. So I think that they can still do a job without Tohu and without SJ. But, you know, we know how good the Storm are. So for me, the line's probably fair, but I wouldn't be laying over 6 points against the Warriors because they're a different team this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm kicking myself. I'm almost certain that I saw this line hovering at about 3.5 for Storm before the news of Sean Johnson getting ruled out. And I would actually love that now, because like we've discussed in previous pods, the difference between Sean Johnson, obviously he is a superstar, but as we've discussed, the difference between him and Mason Lino is not as big as people thought at the start of the season. This kid can actually ball up. He's very good. You said Bromwich is a big out. I totally agree. It's tough for me. I think 6.5 is probably fair. I was thinking this line would come out at about 6, 6.5 after the Sean Johnson news. I really wanted to play Storm at that 3.5, but it's not available anymore. What I do love is the under. I really like this one. I think that teams do tend to suffer in terms of offense when they've had a bunch of games at home and then they have to go to a foreign venue. And the Warriors have played 3 games in a row at home and then they have to travel to the Storm. Sometimes it does suffer. You don't think of it as much, but it is those little 1%ers. The lighting's different. The crowd noise is different. And so I think the Warriors won't put on too many points against the stout Storm defense. But I also think that the Warriors are now the fittest team in the comp and they won't buckle in the second half. So I really like the unders in this one. I know the weather's probably going to be fine, but we should look at some underplays and we'll do that probably first thing tomorrow morning, have a search around.
I was thinking that too. And you do often make that point of like unfamiliar conditions leading to unders. I just wonder, you're a former professional athlete yourself. Is that something you found that you don't perform as well when you're away from your own home?
Yeah, but that could be for other reasons, like I'm just getting on the piss and shit. Could be.
Yeah. We'll ask him this.
Let's move on to Thursday. The only Thursday game, we've got the Rabbits hosting the Broncos. The Rabbits are 5.5-point favourites and 40.5 the total.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody else was saying the Rabbits are going to be a top four side, but there were plenty of people laughing at us and we said that before the season. And this is maybe the first game of the year. I mean, Reynolds got injured in week 1 where they pretty much put their strongest 17 on the park. And they're playing at home, and this is a good team. And unfortunately, we went against them last Saturday, more because we believed the Raiders could turn up. And, you know, Cam Murray wasn't playing Saturday, but he's back now. So I do think that the Rabbitohs will be too strong in this one, and I would be looking for a couple of Rabbitohs plays. But I swear this line was 3.5 a couple of hours ago. When I looked just now, it's 4.5. And I'm not sure why that is. Do people not know that McCulloch was out? He is a big out for Brisbane. Any time in the last couple of seasons when he hasn't played, it made a huge difference, both, you know, obviously in attack and defence. The amount of work he gets through and the way that he steers them around is not something that Josh Maguire or Thaiday or whoever comes off the bench, whether it's Nicarima in the knock, can replicate. So I think the Rabbitohs are going to win this game. I don't want to rush out and lay -4.5. We might not get a choice. I'll give you one play that I think we could take right now. Would be the Rabbitohs -1.5 in the first half. I can't quite find them.
Yes. Team,
but with a sharpshooter like Reynolds and you've got the better team, just to win the half by 2 or more, that's on Neds. I would take that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I really like it. I actually saw this line around 3.5 as well. So I don't know if it's the news of McCulloch leaking out, if it's the news of Cam Murray being back leaking out slowly and people are just jumping on that. But yeah, obviously Burgess being out for a number of weeks does hurt the Rabbits, but they are still a far superior side. We've got the Rabbits as complete contenders. We've got the Broncos as complete pretenders. And what else I do like is that the Rabbits basically had a training run last week against the Raiders. And the Broncos, this is a huge letdown spot for them. That is such a big game in the Broncos season, playing the Storm at Suncorp. You know that that was 100% effort. And you could tell by the way they were playing. They did put in for the full 80 in that one. And I think it'll be a letdown spot this week away from home facing the Rabbits. So I do think the line is a little bit higher than I would have liked, but I still like the Rabbits. And I think they beat the Broncos by double digits here. And another thing, why the fuck isn't Nicarima playing 80 minutes at hooker? He, you know, hooker's not a fucking very tiring position. The guy can play 80 minutes there. I don't quite understand it. Anyway, we got Manly hosting the Knights. Manly -4.5 points and 38.5 the total.
I mean, you go out there and tackle fucking big human beings for 80 minutes in the middle of the field and see how you go. I've seen you, though. I have seen you at the beach.
All the hookers play 80 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you'd last 80 minutes with a hooker, but... I do like Manly in this one, and it's, you know, another early rematch that we have in this season. And most times you look to the side that was beaten in the first time around, and they are the side that's more motivated, more focused the whole week at training. They can look at the game film and kind of see how they were beaten the first time around and say to themselves, these guys are no better than us. They're not getting us again. And I think that Manly, as tumultuous as their season has been, and they were fucking woeful last Sunday, but that was great because we were all over the Eels and surprised people in that one, and that anchored our multi, so that's all good. But this week, I think this is a really big game for Manly. This absolutely is their season, because if they can't beat Knights side that's missing their captain, Mitchell Pearce, they're their best player, then they might as well just give up. And I do think Manly's got enough to win with here. I think they will be too good for the Knights. Knights very lucky to, you know, get that last-minute victory against the Tigers. That's all well and good, but this Knights side, we've mentioned it before, they're not quite, you know, level top eight material. And Manly might not either, but the spot is just screaming out for me to take Manly, and I think they will win this one. And it's another issue of whether or not we want to lay 4.5 points, but I don't know if we can find this line at 4 or lower.
Yeah, I had a bit of a look around. It pretty much looks like it's floating around 4 in most places. It's a tricky one for me. I know it's a great spot for Manly. I mean, coming off an absolutely embarrassing loss. But honestly, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes there. I mean, they looked just no motivation whatsoever last week. They were just horrible. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but they are not putting in. And I'm a little bit worried about that. I know they've got a home game this week and they should turn up. But I'm actually... Usually when I get like a team like the Knights win a close game like that, you think letdown spot the next week. But because it's still so early in the season and they are still well and truly in the hunt for the eight, I think that's more of a confidence boosting win rather than a letdown, you know, letdown spot after a win. And I kind of said this on Sunday's pod that I do think that the Knights will lift this week and then they're just going to struggle for the rest of the year, obviously, without Pierce. But I think for 1 week, especially this first week. I think they will play good, and I think Connor Watson will have a good game. I think he's out with something to prove. So at that 4.5 number, I'd probably leave it alone. But, I mean, at 3.5, I would certainly take Manly, but I don't think I can play it over 4.
Well, then come along with me on -3.5. We've just got someone commented that we can get it in the pick your own line at $1.81. And I think that's worth it.
Right,
Ian, you mentioned Connor Watson back. Yeah, that will improve them. But you do wonder if he's being rushed back in this situation. You know, they have to play him. They already dropped Block Lamb earlier in the season. So a Watson-Cogger halves does not scare me. A guy like Cherry, who was claiming that he and a number of teammates should be playing Origin this year, has to come out and win this game. They simply have to. And yeah, I think they do. So do you agree? We'll lock
that at
-3.5 on Sportsbet.
Yep. Lock it in. Sorry, I'm just writing that down. All right, sorry. Next up, we've got the Panthers hosting the Dogs. Panthers are -5.5 and 38.5 the total.
Yeah, and we had a really good round last week. So once again, we can say we were spot on going against Penrith last week, and we did do that on Sunday arvo against, you know, depleted Sharks, but they still were good enough, the Sharkies down at Shark Park, because they were hungrier, basically, and because Penrith are quietly the most banged-up team in the whole NRL right now, and they got a lot of key first graders who aren't playing right now. They're sidelined, and it's not quite showing because they have been able to get a lot of victories. And they are one of the deepest teams in the NRL. I have to admit that the 17 that Penrith are putting on the field this Friday is still pretty strong and still can easily beat the Dogs. But I'm very wary of taking a team that's that banged up off a Sunday afternoon loss to come back and play Friday. And the Bulldogs have had a much longer turnaround. They haven't played since the previous Thursday. So it's 8-day turnaround versus 5. The Bulldogs have a proud group. They are not going to win the comp this year, and I think they know that. Deep down, maybe they think they can scrape into the 8. They certainly can't if they can't win a game like this. I think they're going to be absolutely up for this one. And I would play the Dogs, especially if I could get a line like 6. But with it being 5.5 and with already making the point of revenge, of course, this is another rematch, and the Dogs actually beat Penrith, and we were on the Dogs in that one too. That would have been probably round 3 or 4. You have to factor that all in as well. So this is kind of a funny one for me. I could see either side winning this one. If anything, I'm taking the points.
Oh my God, I cannot believe I'm saying this. I love the Dogs. And it's not often where I actually like the Bulldogs. As I've explained in nearly almost every fucking pod, I despise that team. But this is the perfect situation for the Canterbury Bulldogs. You've got the Panthers coming off a short turnaround and a misleading final score. They scored the last 2 tries in that game to make it seem, the box score seemed a little bit closer than it was. You got the Bulldogs coming off a long turnaround Thursday night last week, and they lost. So they've had, you know, a long time to mull over that one. This is the spot to take the Doggies. I think we've got 2+6s floating around. I did check. I know there's one on Crown, and I think there was one on, like, Will Hill or something. But I did want to ask you, if we do like the Dogs, do we wait, and does this tick up to 6.5?
It's not necessarily one that we have to weigh in on right now. The Dogs have won how many games this season? Maybe. Oh, they've won 2. They did shock the Cowboys as well as beating Penrith. But yeah, the Dogs aren't a side that the punters love. They're not even a side that you love. But yeah, I would take...
I hate them.
Yeah, yes, you do. But you love money, and that's why we may have to take the Doggies by the sound of things. But yeah, it's a tough one for us. Doing this on a Tuesday night, a little bit less time for us to digest. We've only just seen the final team list in the last couple of hours. And, you know, we like to look through the markets, and half the markets or more are not out yet. So I think we'll be able to find a couple of good markets on that one, and we'll release them tomorrow morning.
And like we said, like, there's just not as many markets out on the Tuesday. Like, team totals, team try lines, all that sort of stuff usually comes out on a Wednesday. So hopefully it'll be out early tomorrow morning when we do release our best bets, but we will have a search around. Next up, we've got the Titans hosting the Sharks. The Titans are 2.5-point underdogs at home and 41.5 the total.
Yep, so we won on the Sharkies last week, and we won going against the Gold Coast as well, and they were 2 of our favourite plays of the round, both pretty comfortable winners. And I do like the Sharks again in this one.
Yes!
So, I thought I was really impressed with Sorensen in the second row. He scored a barnstorming try that really opened that game up. I mean, Fifita, not only is he very polite to reply to Instagram message from a French fan that he was going to play, so we had the confidence that Fifita was going to play in what was a banged-up forward pack. We needed to know that. We found that out. We took a bunch of plays in the Sharks. Won them all easy. So he was really good. You get back Wade Graham into this team, and he's, you know, one of the premier elite back rowers in the whole comp. So that's great. You hope that he's recovered from his hammy injury. You lose Luke Lewis, but I think that that's going to be made up with Graham. So there's enough there for me to take the Sharkies again, because I do like the back line. I still have a gripe over who should be playing fullback, but look, as long as you've got Dugan and Moylan and Valentine Holmes all in your outside backs, you can create opportunities to score points. And as for the Titans, still missing Dale Copley, still missing Nathan Peets, and also, I don't know if you noticed this as well, but we vowed that we will never put our money on Bryce Cartwright at 5'8". We will never.
Never!
Never again. So we learned the hard way with Penrith. We know that he's a talented player. He is not a talented half. You know, he can try and prove us wrong, but we've seen more than enough of that. So for me, I could only play the Sharks. And yes, I know the Titans try hard, and I know that the Titans are at home. I've been to that ground plenty of times, and I'll tell you what, it's not a very strong home field advantage. They don't fill their stadium, and the fans expect the worst half the time. And yeah, it was fucking rocking when they came from 18 down against the Raiders in round one. Let me tell you that, when we had a multi, including one paying $15,000. But never mind about that. But typically, this venue does not give them a huge advantage, and I think the Sharks will be too good for them.
You're about home and A. Like, have you gone to one NRL game this year and you lost the $15,000 multi in the dying seconds? Is that the only NRL game you've been to this year?
Can't remember. I think I've been to a Broncos game as well. Can't remember the result on that one. But yeah, it is very humbling to have a huge, you know, multi payout coming your way, and then, you know, whether, you know, 10,000-20,000 people cheering that you've just lost. So I don't like going to that many live games. That's one of the reasons why.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I love the Sharks. I think this is a perfect spot for them. Like you said, I think Wade Graham is actually an upgrade on losing Luke Lewis. I don't think that even cancels itself out. I think that's an upgrade. And I think Pacoya back is massive for them. And then Bryce Cartwright in the halves is a fucking debacle. You tell me that the Titans are going to score some points with Bryce Cartwright, that absolute shit show in the halves. They're not. And two other things I really do like about this game. You had the Titans. Yes, they lost to the Cowboys, but it was a misleading final score once again, because as we know, we lost a bet in the dying seconds when the Titans scored two late tries. Then you look at the Sharks-Panthers box score. They only won that by 4 points, but they dominated that whole game and the Panthers scored two late tries as well. So I like both of those factors as well. I've got two bets written down here. I'm going to run them by you. I've got Sharks to win the first half straight up in a two-way market on Crown. That's $1.80.
I had that as
well.
Tell
me if you like that. Let's lock that one in. And I also like Titans under 20 points team total. That's $1.90 on Will Hill. It's 19.5 and 18.5 in other places. I just think that Sharks defense is stout. They kept the Panthers in check until those dying seconds. And under 20 points, I think that's pretty solid.
No, that's really good. With the total 41.5 and a line of 2.5, I thought we'd do well to get under 18.5. So under 20, is that 20 flat then? Did you say you bet?
No, Will Hill. Will Hill
Under 90. 20 on Will Hill. So just so people understand, if they do get 20 points, you're still getting your money back. And obviously, if you're under 20, then it's a winner. So that's a great bet. So there's two early plays we'll take for the Sharkies.
Let's lock those in. Next up, we've got the Cowboys hosting the Raiders. The Cowboys are 7.5-point favourites and 43.5 the total.
Yeah, so we didn't lose faith in the Cowboys. We understand what that team's capable of, and they are close to full strength. Asiata is out, but, you know, Sean Fenson, first game back since that gruesome broken leg, and I think that he actually just lifts guys with just like his toughness that he has brought his whole career. And that's awesome to see that it wasn't a career-ending injury, because, he's played plenty of games, and that was really kind of painful to watch him get carried off so early in the grand final.
Yes.
I think they're going to be really good again, and we know that they are a really good home side. We were all over them against the Titans, and if you didn't watch that game, man, okay, the final score says they won by 12. With 15 minutes to go, it looked like they were going to win by 40, and they did switch off. They destroyed the Titans. Now, will they destroy the Raiders? This is a really tough one for me because the Raiders, we mentioned before, was the one game last week we did not get right. Thought that they would put up a good performance. We were very wrong. And that's the tough thing about the Raiders. They are so trick or treat. They can, yeah, they can be great or they can be absolutely putrid. And that can change even within a game as well, as we know. So what are they going to do this week? I'm not sure. Definitely not going to take Raiders plus points. When I'm getting single-digit points because I respect what North Queensland can do, and I know that North Queensland still needs another win. You know, with bookending a five-game losing streak, that's not good enough. They need to keep rolling if they're going to make sure that they do get into the eight. And for the Raiders, kind of similar. Well, both teams are 2-5, so both teams are desperate. So I don't, you know, think that it's an automatic play on the Cowboys either because I know the Raiders are pretty much full strength and can compete. So it's a very a tricky one for me, and I'm staying away at this stage.
Yeah, I don't like this game at all. And I'll break it down fairly simply. A gun to my head, I would play Cows just because I do not know what I'm going to get out of the Raiders. And that defense is absolutely terrible. I know that I said that Blake Austin was the best half that they had out of those three. Certainly the best attacking half. But he might be their worst defender. He is horrible. He is an absolute turnstile. But this, and I'll say this, this is how good our bet last week on the Cows at -4.5 was against the Titans. The Raiders are a better team than the Titans. And we got -4.5 against the Titans for the Cowboys. And now it's -7.5. It's a higher line against the better team. And that's what sort of, you know, makes me pause for a bit. Because I know that the Raiders, they've got some stuff going on behind the scenes. They've just got absolutely embarrassed. So it's either, you know, I know that the Raiders are going to come out after getting embarrassed and give me a great effort, or they're just going to fucking fold like they pretty much have been doing all season, especially for the first five rounds. So I don't love this game at all. If I had to play something, I'd play the Cowboys -7.5. But at this stage, I'm probably happy to leave it.
Yeah, like if the Raiders don't turn up, it's going to be just like it was last week and they get a 40 spot dropped on them. If they do turn up,
yeah.
I'm recalling a game. It was either the Raiders trip last season or the year before that went to Golden Point and the Cowboys won when they scored a try off a missed field goal. And we could get, you know, a cracking game like that. And you mentioned that, yeah, the bookies have not taken long to adjust their rating on the Cowboys. Not only is it 3 points higher than it was against the Titans weren't full strength. The Raiders are. So that's the point there. And we, you know, did not downgrade the Cowboys too far in our ratings last week because we knew what they were capable of. And if you did downgrade them too far, you wouldn't have snapped up that value. We had 10 plays on Cowboys-Titans. Should have won all 10. We won 9 out of 10.
And that was probably the biggest bookie disparity that we've had all year. I mean, that line did move 4 points before kickoff, and we got all of those bets before the line moved. So then we've got a Sunday game. We've got the Eels hosting the Tigers. The Eels are 2.5-point dogs and 39.5 the total.
Speaking of getting a line before it moved, we did jump in when... Yeah. What did we see? Well, it was when Parramatta were smashing...
The Eels won.
Yeah, they were up 20 or so against Manly, which we predicted, not necessarily that margin, but we predicted a Parramatta win. And we just seen the night before that the Tigers aren't, you know, the greatest show on turf that everyone's making them out to be this season. And we knew that that line wasn't going to remain at 4.5 with the Eels playing the Tigers in another rematch and another revenge spot game. So we grabbed the Parramatta Eels +4.5. Some people even got 5.5, depending on if they had sports bet or tab. Now the line's like 1.5, and I still probably would prefer Parramatta with this one. No Hayne, but you get back Bevan French. To me, that's probably a win overall with what Hayne's shown us since he's returned from the NFL. For the Tigers, they're still not full strength when you got guys like Russell Packer still out. They lost Alex Swoll as well, who's like an underrated second rower, plays some prop as well. So to me, it's a very even game, and I would lean to the Eels, and maybe we should take a play like Parramatta +1 first half, because I don't think this line's going to climb anywhere near 4 again.
Nah, it won't climb anywhere near 4, I don't think, especially after the Eels broke their duck last week, but it is pretty much 2 and 2.5 in most places, so we might have to look around, because, I mean, sometimes when you get a 2.5, I saw even a 3.5 line out there, you can get that flat 2 in the first half, so I couldn't see that today, but maybe we'll get something like that. But once again, yeah, it's the losing streak theory as well. I mean, Parramatta's been down for so long. They finally get their first win, and now finally the pressure is off. They can play some free-flowing football. They've got that first win, and I think they do put up a pretty good performance. Tigers, kind of nice that they didn't get totally obliterated last week. If they played a better team, they may have, because we've been saying all year that the Tigers aren't necessarily frauds, but they're not contenders, like a lot of people were saying. They're certainly not. They're bottom eight material, and they will finish bottom eight. So I do like the Eels in this one. If anything, I do also lean under. I would take a Tigers under, just because, you know, obviously we know how the Tigers play. They've been slowing the ball down. They've been playing, you know, possession game. And the Eels' defense was actually pretty good last week. So I like this to be a low-scoring grind of a game. And I do like the Eels to get the close win. So we'll look at some of those plays tomorrow.
You say that Tigers are a bottom eight side. I mean, I think if you had to rank, as we do every week, and people can look forward to that on Thursday, or we may even post that tomorrow morning, because we've probably got to go through our power ratings. So we rank all 16 teams in order of who we would pick as a favourite this week. And we also attribute a points rating. And that's basically the difference in any two teams' ratings is how much we would favour them by in a neutral venue. Now, we both agree that Tigers, there's at least eight sides better than the Tigers. But let's not forget, they've won 5 out of 7 weeks. So even if there aren't... Even if there are more than eight teams better than them, they will actually be thereabouts, I think, because we do respect what Cleary's done with that team. And I don't want people to think that we don't recognise how good the Tigers have been. It's just unfortunately that the public has overreacted and we're given no choice but to go against them, as we did with the Knights last week. And you saw them.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. Did you hear that vibration?
Yeah, I'm sure everyone hears that. I don't know if there's a way you can turn the buzzer off. Otherwise, it just looks like we've had Mexican before every pot.
Absolutely grim. But that's going to wrap it up for today, guys. So do you have those bets written down, mate? Do we want to run through them really quickly?
Hopefully, I got them all. So see what you've got, but I'll repeat what I've written down. So Roosters +1 first half and Roosters +1 second half. They're both on Crown, both $1.90. We're going to take Manly -3.5. That's in other markets on Sportsbet. That's $1.83. We're going to take Rabbitohs.
And the Rabbits. Did you say there's a Rabbits -1.5 first half?
Yeah, sorry. Did I get that out of order? Yes. Yep, the Rabbits game. We want to take -1.5 in the first half. That's on Neds. We're going to take the Sharks to win the first half against the Titans. That's $1.80 on Crown. And the beauty of that is it's a two-way market. So if it's tied, money back. Under 20 on William Hill. That's a good number. We're going to grab that. We already took Paramount +4.5. You were in our group. You might have got that. Otherwise, that's long gone, unfortunately. I suggested Paramount +1. But we don't have to pull the trigger on that if you've seen like 3.5. I've seen that line.
Yeah, I think we don't have any rush for that.
We'll look at that one tomorrow morning. Did I miss any?
No, that's pretty much it. And I mean, that's the beauty of sort of being in our group. You kind of learn when you need to take bets and when you don't, because you can pretty much, if you look hard enough and you've got enough bookies, you can get a +1 or a +1.5 first half, even if you have the tiniest underdog. We got Roosters, they're a tiny underdog, and we can get +1 first half and second half. So there's no real rush on that one. We'll be able to get that tomorrow as well. But guys, tomorrow morning will be the first time ever that we release all our bets in the app first. We will release them in there first. So make sure you've downloaded it. Just search Tripod in the App Store or on Google Play. That's obviously TRYPOD. And we'll release them in there first. Obviously, we'll release them in our group as well, but we will slowly phase that out and move completely to the app. It just is a bit more user-friendly with push notifications and that kind of thing. But if you're not that app-friendly, I guess you can still find our bets on Instagram and on Twitter. That's tripod_betting, and you can find them on our website as well, tripodbetting.com. But they will be released there after the app.
A new era begins. And,
yeah, a new era begins, mate. Anything else you wanted to add, or is that pretty much it?
No, that's it. I mean, in addition to best bets, multis and everything else, and competitions and everything you said before, it's also all going to have a home inside the app. That's where you want to be. What are you still doing here watching us, looking at our mugs? Download that app right now and get amongst it.
Yes, we should have roughly, $2,000 in bonus bets to give away over the next month or so. And that's completely free. The app is completely free. So make sure you download it. Someone's asking what time the best bets are released tomorrow. We'll try and do them about 9 o'clock. But it depends on how many bets we have, how quickly we find them, and what time we wake up. So roughly around 9 or 10 a.m. tomorrow. And yeah, we will see you on Sunday night at 6 p.m. for the recap of round 8. We'll see
Thanks
you.
Thanks, everyone, tuning in. Happy Anzac Day.